Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing? This is Samuel Tolley, Trusting the Truth. Today, I'm talking about a subject that I've been trying to put all the pieces together, and frankly, I'll be honest with you, it's been very difficult. It's been very difficult to formulate a cohesive plan, strategy, outline. So I'm just going to wing it, and I'm hoping that the Lord will help me through it. We're talking about psyopting the Black American mind. And this is something that's been going on for many, many years. And the thing about a psyop, people don't necessarily understand what's going on. Now, let me give you a quick definition of psyop from like a military perspective. It said it's an acronym for psychological operations, which is a term used by the U.S. military to describe campaigns that aim to influence the enemy's state of mind. Psyops are often non-combative and can include political, economic, military, and ideological activities. The goal is to create emotions, attitudes, beliefs, or behaviors that are favorable to U.S. objectives. Now, this is talking about from a military perspective, but it also happens to apply to just regular people, you know, and actually the military, they'll use psyops for to try to gain the confidence of people. I remember during the Vietnam War, they had these different pacification programs where they were trying to win the hearts and minds of the citizens. If you look at World War II, back in when Operation Barbarossa, when the Germans attacked Russia, the people at the borders, many of those people were being oppressed by Stalin, and they welcomed the Germans. They felt liberated. They were happy. You know, Germany could have used psyops to gain those people's confidence and had them be allies to them. But the German mission was to destroy the Russians. So they destroyed the very people that were friendly to them. That was bad strategy. I want to show you a short video. It's about 3.5 minutes long. And it's going to give you a little information to help our discussion. If you bear with me, and if you stay with me, hopefully you will learn some things that will help you. And particularly if you're a Black and you're a Black Democrat or someone that always votes Black Democrats, if you can step aside of your convictions, what I mean by that is if you can just hold them at bay long enough to analyze the information that I'm going to give you, it may help you in ways that you never expected. So let's look at this short video talking about ghosts in the machine.
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wolves hiding nearby, whispering, do or die. Around me, I
is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Cywar.
Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldier, and at the same time
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night closing.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
As I wait to say my last goodbye.
These are the Cywar soldiers.
You know, psyops come in all kinds of form. If you're like me and like to go to the movies, they haven't been very good movies out lately. But one of the things you notice at the movies, or at least I've noticed at the movies, but while they're having the trailers come in attractions before the movie starts, right before the movie starts, they'll start showing you images of soda and meat and popcorn and all this kind of stuff. So to entice you to go eat, you know, to buy some concessions, because they make more money off the concessions. What some people may not know is what they used to do was intersplice pictures of Cokes, pictures of food, pictures of popcorn in the very movie itself. So it would get embedded in your brain and you didn't even know it was there. And you say, dang, I'm hungry. You know, and that's supposed to be illegal now. But they used to do that intentionally so they can get into your psyche. And all of a sudden you got this attitude, this hunger, this desire that you didn't have before. It's always about getting control of the mind. There is nothing new about it. This has been going on from time eternal. Matter of fact, there's a biblical situation where I can take you all the way back into the Bible where it shows in 2 Kings chapter 18. I think his name was Sennacherib. Well, forget it. I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I didn't write it down. But this king of Assyria was attacking Judah, you know, the southern empire. And he had laid siege to it. And his people were all around Jerusalem. They had it surrounded. And so what he did was he sent his representative, used psychological warfare, to try to talk them out. You know, if you can get people to quit, then you don't have to fight. You don't have to use your soldiers and kill off some of them and kill off some other people, whatever. So what it was he sent his representative to go talk to the representative of King Hezekiah. And his representative, Rabshakeh, was talking to the people on the gate and to the representative in Hebrew. But Hezekiah's representative said, no, don't talk to them in Hebrew. Talk to them in your language. I know your language. Because he did not, the representative of Hezekiah, want this guy to intimidate his people. But Rabshakeh said the following. Has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and to drink their own urine? He wanted the people guarding the gate, guarding the city, to know exactly what he had to say. You know, he wanted those people to be fully intimidated by his words and to quit. You want to know what's happening? Read your Bible. You know, and this was in 2 Kings, starting in chapter 18. But getting back to the lesson at hand, the lesson that we're talking about psychological warfare and psyoping the black mind, let's look and see what Malcolm X had to say many years ago. Malcolm X said, if you are not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people being oppressed and loving people doing the oppressing. Now, when he said this, I guess the newspaper was probably the most influential communication vehicle there was to the American people. But now we have the newspapers, we have the television, we have social media, we have all kinds of players. You know, the radio is a whole nine yards that can influence your thinking. And all of them use psychological warfare. Malcolm wasn't stupid. He understood the process, and I can give you plenty of examples on how the newspaper does that, or the news media, the news reporters we watch on TV all the time and the radio. I just saw an article the other day, a little clip where George Stephanopoulos, who used to be, I think, the chief of staff of Bill Clinton, and now is on ABC, saying it's something like it's irresponsible for reporters to interview Donald Trump. Now, if you think about it, no matter what you think about Trump, he makes news. And it is the responsibility of news broadcasters to give the American people the news and the information of what people say. And actually, the role of the news organizations is not to be the arbitrator of the good or the bad. Their role is to present the evidence to the American people and trust the American people to make an informed decision based on their knowledge of what's going on. But ever since Trump started running for president the first time, they changed their roles openly. They even got to the point where they said that they were obligated to steer people away from him. That's never been their role. The role of the First Amendment is the freedom of religion, the freedom of press, the freedom for us to do what we want to do. And the newspaper is supposed to be the referee in the sense they keep government at bay. They tell us what government is doing and they give us the information for us to dissect. But that's not what they did in Trump. The psyoping of Trump is so thorough. All you have to do is go back and look at the first 2.5 years of his administration, when they were accusing him of being a Russian stooge, where just about all the newspapers, all the TV shows, all the media said that he was in bed with Russia. For 2.5 years and over $40 million, the American people were subjected to this daily. And once it came out that it was, the whole thing was a lie. And for you that don't know, it also came out that the whole thing started from Hillary Clinton and her organization. What happened? Absolutely nothing happened to Hillary Clinton. Absolutely. And the news media never apologized. Never. They just went on about their business to the next thing, to the Stormy or whatever else that they can trump up on Trump to try to make him look bad. They never told the American people, oh, dang, you know what? We were wrong about that. I'm sorry. No, they act like it didn't happen. Just like with the Hunter Biden laptop. Right before the 2000 election, they blanketed the airwaves. They used social media, Facebook, YouTube, excuse me, yeah, well, you know, YouTube too, Twitter, all of them, to ban any posts talking about that laptop, because that laptop had incriminating information on it for Joe Biden. So instead of them being the fair arbitrator, they said it was all a lie. Matter of fact, there were 51 former intelligence agents who wrote a letter, which Joe Biden presented during one of the debates. And all of them said this information looked like the work of Russia disinformation. All of them. And all of them knew it was a lie. And when it came out, nobody apologized. Nobody. So they got people hating Trump on stuff that didn't even exist. It wasn't true. And loving Hillary at the time, or Joe. Like I said, regardless of what you think about Trump, now that's if you're an informed person. To berate the man, to denigrate the man off false evidence is ridiculous. And the psychological warfare against Trump was even stronger than that. Trump had this TV show for 11 years. I never watched it because I never watched reality TV, but I hear it was a top show. But what I do know is before Trump decided to run for president, I knew no one in my personal life or I read about on the news, anything that had a bad thing to say about him. Nothing. No one ever. And then all of a sudden, once the psychological warfare came out on him, I'm hearing all these people say all these negative things, all these black people, when before there's every black person of renown, whether they were conservative or liberal, had pictures with Trump. All of them. Even white folks like Hillary. All of them. All of them like Trump. And I ask people, and I'll continue to ask this because I want people to think logically and critically. I said, if Trump is the monster he's being made out, and like now they say, well, if he comes back in the office, he's going to be the next Hitler. He's going to put people in concentration camps. He's going to take away your liberty. He's going to destroy the democracy. That's what Charlemagne the fake god says. And the way these people are talking, they act like he wasn't president before. They want people's minds to be so closed that they can't even remember what it was like prior to this administration. This is double think. This is classic stuff from like 1984, where they want to control your thinking. And they don't want you to think. They want you to think emotionally instead of logically. Because like I said, no one had a bad thing to say about Trump. So it begs the question that must be answered. If the media, who was supposed to be the fair arbiter of information to the American people, see that Trump is such a monster now, he had to be a monster before. And if he was a monster before, why didn't they tell us that then? So either he was a monster then or he wasn't a monster then. And if he's a monster now, because they say he's one, but they don't have that evidence to back up then he wasn't one now. This is the stuff Malcolm X was talking about. This is psychological warfare. So this is something I would hope you digest, that you think about. Because if they control your thinking, they will have you do things that you never thought you'd do. I want to bring up a quote. The first quote I have, too, from a man named Carter G. Woodson. Look what he had to say a long time ago. Mr. Woodson said the following. If you can control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. When you determine what a man shall think, you do not have to concern yourself about what he will do. If you make a man feel that he is inferior you do not have to compel him to accept an inferior status, for he will seek it himself. If you make a man think that he is justly an outcast, you do not have to order him to the back door. He will go without being told. And if there is no back door, his very nature would demand one. This man is speaking the effects of psychological warfare on the human mind. And I'm thinking, and I believe he was thinking, more specifically that of a black man. When you condition people to think that they're inferior, they'll be inferior. They'll accept inferior. Now, I'm going to show you one of the ways that they do this. When they're talking about voter ID is racist. Back in, let's get him out of there. Voter ID is racist. All you have to think about is the fact that, well, there's two things to think about. I don't know any black person that's an adult that can't get voter ID. All of them can get voter ID. There are even communities where if you don't have the money to buy ID, you can get ID for free. But yet these politicians and these black gatekeepers run around saying that voter ID is racist. It's trying to stop black people from voting. Well, the only people that tried to stop black folks from voting was Democrats. That was them that were in the Jim Crow situation. That was them that was perpetrating this inferiority stuff. And they're still perpetrating inferiority by saying that voter ID is racist. But the psychological warfare, these black folks that run into this stuff don't see it. Well, let me help you see it. If you're telling me that voter ID is racist, you're telling me basically that white people are capable of getting identification and I'm not. Like there's some kind of barbed wire surrounding me. No, the only thing that's surrounding you is a chain around your head that they've placed there because there's absolutely nothing stopping you from getting ID. So since there's nothing stopping you from getting ID and they're telling you that it's racist, and you accept it, then you are accepting an inferior status. They're not telling you directly that you're inferior. That would be mean. They'll just tell you stuff like voter ID is racist. That you can't expect, or like Kamala said, well, there's not a King Kohl's in many of these neighborhoods. Like you can't get access to a photocopy machine. Or like Governor Cuomo or whatever the heck her name is in New York said, we got black kids in the Bronx that don't even know what a computer means. I mean, not having a computer, they ain't even got a clue of what it means. These people are the systemic racist folks. These people are the ones that don't care about black people while they try to pander to you and make you think they care about it. These people that are perpetrating the systemic racism and all this stuff that's basically come from a communist mindset. Let me show you something. This gentleman, Manny Johnson. Manny Johnson used to be a communist for many years, but he was raised as a Christian. And his Christian education conflicted with his communist training as he got older. And what Manny did, let me get this over here. What happened was Manny started understanding what's going on. He said, they wanted to destroy Jim. He's talking here about Uncle Tom's Cabin. He says, in their usual diabolically clever way, the Reds communists, I've quoted there, took the name of a fine, sincere, and beloved character made famous in the greatest indictment of chattel slavery and transform him into a dirty, low, sneaky, treacherous, groveling, sniveling coward. This the Reds did in order to make the name Uncle Tom the symbol of social, economic, and political leprosy. That he wrote in his book, Color, Communism, and Common Sense. Well, and he's true. Because if you were to call a black man an Uncle Tom, by just virtual reaction, he's ready to fight. Whereas if you ever read the book Uncle Tom's Cabin, this was a book that helped, that preceded the Civil War. This is a book about a black man who was a slave, and it was forbidden for him to learn how to read. But he was taught how to read, and he was taught how to read the Bible. And by reading the Bible, he understood what his position in Christ was and what it was supposed to be. And he helped other slaves get free. And when his master found out what he was doing, the master beat him to death because Tom refused to tell on those folks. He was symbolic of the suffering servant of Jesus Christ. But the Communist Party, one of their goals is to infiltrate, was, and it succeeded, to infiltrate and divide black people from white people in the United States. And you had to denigrate anything that would bring them together. And one of the things you had to denigrate was the Bible, and you had to destroy anybody and anything that was representative of it. And that's Uncle Tom. And so by making him a monster, they helped divide black people and white people, when the essence of Uncle Tom was to say, this was a good man. He was treated like crap. He was in the midst of slavery, which was evil and vile, and was something the institution that the Democrats created. But he was a man of integrity. He was a man of God. He stood up in the midst of all this evil in spite of his circumstances. No, he didn't bite these people. He couldn't win. But he didn't let them destroy his integrity. That was psychological warfare on a grand scale, to the point now where most black people say Uncle Tom was a villain, is an evil, sniveling, cowardly. Don't call me no Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was a good guy. But here, today, in 2024, we have black men. Black men. Here we got the Governor Westmore, Cedric Richmond, and LL Cool J. These three black men have one thing in common. Joe Biden, President of the United States, called all of them at different times boy. Now, of course, the media that we talk about and who always gives him cover, the media will say, well, no, he didn't mean it. Well, hell, it was three different times on three different occasions, three different black men. They will eviscerate Donald Trump on stuff that he didn't say, let alone stuff that he might have said on an accident. But these three different black men said nothing. And all the black people that are liberals and Democrats say nothing. Why? Because when you're a Democrat, you can say anything you want to say about a black person because they've been programmed to accept it. How do you explain Joe Biden telling Charlemagne, the fake god, 3.5 years ago when he was running for president the first time, well, if you don't know the difference between me and Trump, you ain't black. And he took it. How do you explain that? You know, and he tried to act like, well, I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, my people. No, he was just being what he is. Another gatekeeper, another person that just sucks up to the Democrat Party and acts like he care about black folks. This guy, you know, cracks me up. He's running around talking about, well, I'm not going to endorse anybody for president. You know, because they want him. I remember The View was trying to get him to endorse Biden. Well, hell, he done got so embarrassed, you know, he don't want to say it. But then you can see other videos where he says, well, you know, Biden is excrement, but Trump would destroy democracy. So basically, he don't want to stick his foot out there or his butt out there, but he's going to vote for Biden. Nothing changed. He's just trying to, you know, not catch the hell because so many black folks are now starting to wake up. But let's show you a little bit of something about old Charlemagne, what do you call himself, you know, the fake god, and how he allowed Hillary to pander to him. And then you can watch Hillary and Jill. Let's watch them a little bit and see this stuff. This is interesting.
No more questions? They said no. She has to go.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen, I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
As the gospel song goes, we've come too far from where we started. Nobody told me the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far, though, to leave me.
I mean, if this stuff wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. Here you got Charlemagne, the fake god, and his crew. Oh, you got hot sauce? Ha! People say you're pandering to black folks. And Hillary is once in her life was honest. Well, is it working? I mean, you know, you had the big old sign behind them with the Hillary symbols and all this other nonsense. Instead of them saying, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, coming to us with this garbage. And then you got Joe. You got Joe. I should have put in the story of Corn Pop because he's a bad dude. But I got kids rubbing the hairs on my leg. You know, and then I had to learn about roaches. You got a bunch of black kids running, talking about learning about roaches. You don't think that's that old racist coming out of him? What the hell is that? I mean, they were at a pool. They weren't in no roach infested project or whatever. I had to learn about roaches. And then, I ain't no ways tired. Now, Hillary came out there flowing with her little southern black accent. And Joe, he could barely, like the gospel record says. It's election time. So what do you do in election time when you're screwed over black folks for 3.5 years? I mean, well, you done screwed them with a square pole and no grease? You show up at the NAACP. You show up at some so-called black church. You show up and you put on a show. And that's supposed to make it happen. You know, just like when Obama got around a bunch of black folks talking about, take off your house shoes, put on your marching shoes. That's what Democrats do. And that's all they need to do, or that's all they think they need to do. But see, I'm telling you folks, these folks, all they want to do is get control and then use us. They want to use us so they can abuse us. You know, and control is what they want to do. They want you to think that they care about you. They don't care about black people. They don't care about nobody. They care about power. Power is what they want. And one of the things they really want to do is to get rid of the Second Amendment. They want to get rid of it because they know that they'll never be able to fully get rid of the First Amendment until they get rid of the Second Amendment. Listen to this short clip what Mark Robinson had to say.
Involved in standing up against these leftists who are running our schools and running our media and standing in the halls of our government. One of the things that I am most passionate about right now is this. We have people in our government right now who are trying to tell us about civil rights. The United States of America, who fought a war to free slaves, they're trying to tell us about civil rights. And the whole time they're doing it, they're doing it with this undertone that's close to my heart about trying to disarm us. Now, why in the world would they be trying to do that? Why in the world would you be trying to disarm a people who are so fierce in trying to give everybody their civil rights? Because it's all about control, folks. We need to put the control back with us. We need to understand that the fight to preserve our Second Amendment is not just a fight to preserve your right to go to a gun range and shoot an AR-15. The fight to preserve the Second Amendment is the fight to preserve the Constitution. Because I can assure you, when that Second Amendment goes away, the rest will be right behind it.
You know, I oops, sorry. Sorry about that. I remember when Biden was running for president and people weren't taking him seriously. And I can't find this clip online right now, but I remember a clip where he was saying an 8-year-old should be able to decide if he want to change his sex or not. Now, the fact that 8-year-old, you can't change your sex is besides the point. But you need to take these people seriously when they say stupid stuff, because they believe stupid stuff. And then when you get all these gatekeepers, you know, these black folks like Jesse Jackson and Sharpton and all these so-called entertainers that talk all this garbage, that try to keep you herded in. You need to understand that these folks are not new. They've always been around. I want to give you a clip back here, way back with Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington said, there is a class of colored people. This is how long ago, that's when we were calling ourselves colored. Let's say we went from colored to Negro to black to quote unquote African-American, right? So there is a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs. So I want you to understand there's always been these Sharptons and all these folks, or the entertainer like these John Legends and all these jokers, all of them in the news media, all of them. They've always been there and they will always be there. And they want to control your thinking. They want to control the way you see reality. You know, because They, like I said, they want to keep you herded in. And like I keep saying, you know, invisible chains are hard to break because you can't see them. You cannot see them. So you don't, in essence, don't know they're there. You know, a friend of mine had posted a clip that I just saw when I was preparing this. And this thing right here, I thought was very enlightening to the point where I had to let him know, hey, I'm going to use this clip because this makes perfect sense in what I'm trying to bring to the table today, how they're trying to control your thinking. Let's take a look at this real quick.
Ever since we're kids, our parents have already been indoctrinated with this type of mentality, right? So we hear from them, we get into school. What is the only thing they teach us about Black history in school? Slavery. And then after that, civil rights, Black History Month. What is it that we learn about Black History Month? Every year, they teach us only about the same five damn people. MLK, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, the civil rights leaders. The only thing they teach us about ourselves is oppression, oppression, oppression. We had to fight for our lives. We had to fight for our rights. We had to fight. We gotta beg you to free us. That's all that they repeat to us. Where the fuck is the rest of our history? Why is that the only thing that we ever hear about? It's all intentional. So what that does is we begin to heavily identify with slavery. We begin to heavily identify with oppression because that is the only thing that's being repeated and played over and over and over again. That is to keep your mind state in the state of oppression. That is also to show you that the only way out is through me. So what that does is it lets me hold the power over you. Because now I control whether or not you're free.
It's deep, people. Keep the power over you. Keep you thinking in this. Look at this example. A bunch of sheep running around and a sheepdog. You ever seen a sheepdog herding a bunch of sheep? I should have thought about it. I would have made a clip. One dog can run around and get a whole mess of sheep that's out there in the pasture and get them all to come back into the pen. Because the sheep are focused on whatever the dog says, that's what I'm gonna do. And that's the way many of y'all are. You know, whatever they say, I'm gonna do. And they keep you keep your mind so locked into that thing, so locked into that thing. Just like right now, at the making of this video, We're approaching, and it's going to upset some people, but I don't care. We're approaching the Juneteenth celebration. They made a national holiday, Juneteenth. There are all kinds of things they could have made national holidays for Black folks or all kinds of people. But they made this Juneteenth. And what is Juneteenth about? Juneteenth's about a group of Black folks, I think they were in Galveston, Texas, that didn't know that slavery was over. A small group of people in this community, and if the information I received is correct, a Black Union soldier or came and told them that it was over, but they didn't believe him until some white joker showed up to tell them. And now we're going to make a celebration about this, a national holiday about this. This is embarrassing to me. This ain't nothing for me to jump up and down and shout, wow, happy Juneteenth. This is stupid. You could have made a national holiday about Frederick Douglass and his life, about Booker T. Washington. You know, other folks in MLK, and I have a lot to say about him, but not today. But Juneteenth? There ain't nothing special about Juneteenth. That's stupid. Now, any day that folks can get off and get paid, fine. I got no argument with it to a degree. But I wanted to keep things real. And I'll even be honest, and I remember Trump, when he was a president, was talking about doing a Juneteenth thing before Biden signed it. So I'm not giving him a break on it either. It's nothing to excite me or to make me think, wow, this is the epitome of a Black America. But getting back to the topic at hand, It's just another piece of psychological warfare to keep black folks in bay. Oh, you know, it's just a little bitty thing. It ain't that much. But I want to bring you another quote from Carter Woodson. Let us see here. If we had went from when Booker T. Washington, and that's when we were still calling ourselves colored people, Carter Woodson's at that next level where there were Negroes. If the Negro in the ghetto must eternally be fed by the hand that pushes him into the ghetto, he will never become strong enough to get out of the ghetto. Think about it. The Democrat Party, the black people in America, by and large, has sold their soul to the Democrat Party since the 1960s. We can get into a whole nother thing about what kind of shape were black folks in prior to the Great Society of LBJ. At least one thing we could say is the black two-parent family was between 75 and 80% before then. Daniel Patrick Moynihan in the Negro report that he made on the destruction of the black family, he said it was 25% of the black family was only one person with children in 1965, and he was eviscerated by Democrats and Republicans. Why? Because nobody wanted to face the truth or take the heat. And a so-called Democrat or a so-called civil rights leaders was jumping on him too. Well, now, 72 to 75% of black married households have one parent. And that's predominantly a woman. So I've always honored Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a white Democrat who was telling the truth and standing up for the right thing. And he was a man that I understand that was poor when he was a kid. And I think his father left the house, if I'm not mistaken. He was trying to do the right thing. But a lot of folks don't want to do the right thing. They want to do the expedient thing, but I'm going to check my time. Let me move on, because I want to get this information in before my hour is up. I want to get this thing done in an hour. So let's look at another clip of our president and how he, excuse me, bear with me here. I got to work with this thing. Let's look at what he had to say recently.
High school graduation. You start a college just as George Floyd was murdered. And there was a reckoning on race. What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, what is democracy? Betrayal of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. And most of all, what does it mean, as we've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure?
Wow. What is your response to the
president? Race baiter. It's tough to hear that, because imagine you going to college for 4 years, you know, ready to, you know, hit the world, start a career, and, you know, this guy's trying to set you back. Literally, I don't know, civil rights? I don't know what's going on with the Democrats, this role that they're trying to play. Instead of, you know, pulling up and saying, well, here we go. This is your time. Congratulations. Let's kill it. Let's do our best. Nah, you know what? Lawrence, they don't love you like that.
Yeah.
Herding us in, keeping us herded in, keep us, like what would that woman said earlier, oppressed, thinking about, you know, keeping us constantly thinking about slavery, constantly thinking about being oppressed. Joe's a prime example of it. The same dude that said he didn't want his children growing up in a racial jungle. The same dude that said, oh, when Obama was running for president, oh man, this guy is smart and articulate and clean. Like there ain't been no smart and articulate and especially clean black folks before him. It's a storybook, man. Guy said, you can't go to a 7-Eleven unless you got a slight Indian accent. This dude was a racist from all get out. You don't know the difference between me and Trump. You ain't black. And now he's getting around there a bunch of college students that are graduating. And instead of saying, good for you, you can make it. Oh, no, America don't like you. America hates you, even though you might love America. Keep that indoctrination in your head. That's why me and a lot of other people, well, that's one of the reasons, don't call ourselves African Americans. I never went for that. That's another form of psychological warfare, whether you know it or not. Keep your mind separate. If we can separate people by race, by sex, by you know, your proclivities, by everything, the more we can separate people, the more we can keep them from unifying as a nation. I'm a black man, but my identity first comes with Jesus Christ. And I was born in America, so I'm an American citizen. I'm not an African American. You know what? I used to work with two guys that were born in Africa. One was born in South Africa and one was born in Nigeria. And they became American citizens. So what do we call them? American Africans? I mean, African, I don't know what we call it. The guy in Nigeria was a black dude and the guy in South America was a white dude. I had dinner recently with some folks and they were talking about, oh, how Elon Musk can't be an African American. And you know what? I didn't say anything. Hell, he could be more of an African American than me because he was born in Africa and he became a citizen of America. I was just being polite. But I want to show you a couple of other famous Americans who hold the same position that I do. And by the way, I don't care what you call yourself. That's your business. I don't care. That's fine with me. You know, but I think it divides us.
You have said that you resent the idea of being called an African American, that
yes.
You are a black American.
Yes.
Explain.
I think that when they call black people who were born and raised for generations in this country, if you accept the handle of African American, that says that you don't accept being an American American. You don't accept being born in Chicago or New York or Detroit or wherever you were born, for generations your family has been here, you know, built this country too. Sweat and tears and all that, you know, fought in every war, okay? So this is my country here. So I don't want to be called African American. I'm an American American. My people have died and done everything for this country.
Americans now, that's what we're talking about.
I love America. I love this country. I fought for this country in the 96 Olympic Games. And I'm gonna be the first one to tell. I'll be the first one to tell anybody. I'm not an African American. I'm an American. I was born on American soil. But I did go back to the motherland, and I love it. And made millions going back to the motherland. But I was born in America, and then it's no different from the We're gonna go into the Floyd Mayweather mind. So when the Europeans came to the Native Americans, well, they like to call them Native Americans, but the Indians' land. We don't call them European Americans. So I don't want to be called an African American. I'm an American. You know what I'm saying? You can call me a black American, but I'm an American.
Me too, Floyd and Smokey. I'm an American. One day, God willing, I'll visit Africa. I'd love to visit Africa. But I was born here. For good or for bad, for better or for worse, this is my country. This is where my parents were born and my grandparents were born. The blood, sweat, and tear is in this. That's why I fight for this country. I fight for the people of this country, no matter what color you are. We're Americans. And I don't want to be divided. I don't want to be truncated. I don't want to be told that I'm lesser of a person because of the color of my skin. I don't want somebody to try to tell me that I am oppressed.
I work my butt off. You know, I can think for myself. I'm a logical, rational person, and I refuse to let anybody tell me otherwise. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of my life, and I stand for the gospel. And I defend the gospel. I welcome anybody to show me differently. And I give people the right, well, I don't give people the right, but I believe people have the right to believe otherwise if that's what they want to. But I'm not going to be buffaloed. I'm not going to allow myself to be psyoped by anyone if I can avoid it. And I would hope you do the same thing. Keep your mind to the grindstone. Think logically, not emotionally. Don't let folks influence you without cause. Test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Think about it. Think a lot about it. This is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.